This morning's message is called It's All About the Blood of Jesus. And I was praying about what kind of message to bring for today, and I just had this song just drop into my spirit when I started praying. And it was a song that I mentioned to Connie probably a year or 2 years ago that I had sung in my earlier years, and it's a hymn, and it's called My Savior's Precious Blood. And I thought that it was kind of ironic, you know, because John is always using song lyrics in his messages, and here I get a song for my lead-in for the message. So, okay, so here we go. My Savior's precious blood. There's a crimson river flowing down the cross where Jesus died. It's flowing down the mountain through the valley deep and wide. It's a balm to heal the nations, a reservoir of love. I'm talking about my Savior's precious blood. Coming from his throne in glory, man in flesh, yet God divine, walked among us pure and holy, spotless lamb, oh, he did shine. In his veins flowed man's redemption from a heart of perfect love. I'm talking about my Savior's precious blood. I will heal your mind. It will heal your mind and body. It will save your soul from sin. It will take you back to heaven where it all began. It will take you through the fire. It will take you through the flood. I'm talking about my Savior's precious blood. It will comfort and protect you in your midnight hours alone. It will save your wayward children and restore your broken home. Fly your spirit out of prison. Turn your hatred into love. I'm talking about my Savior's precious blood. So you can see in that hymn, the entire hymn is about the blood of Jesus. It's all about the blood, folks. This hymn should, in my opinion, should be a hymn for generations. It's the kind of word that we need to hear over and over throughout all generations. But I rarely hear it now. And so it's just, you have to know it's a God thing to drop in a song that you haven't heard in 3 years, you know. Or you haven't really sung in 25 or 30 years, you know. So it's just something that God uses to speak to me with in the way that he gives me my messages. And it's something I want to talk about because there's been a great push, and I've heard John mention this recently, all in the United States, there's a great push to not talk about the blood. There's a great push to not talk about the cross. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think's behind this push? Satan. That's who's behind this push. He don't want us to know about the blood. He doesn't want us to know what the blood does. He doesn't want us to see the blood and see the cross and see all that Jesus did, because it will change the way we feel and think. And so today that's exactly what we're going to talk about. And hopefully by the time this message is over, we get some real pictures and real thoughts in our hearts about the blood of Jesus and about the cross. Some years ago, I heard this statement that the Jews killed Jesus. It just kind of stopped me. And I thought, gee, why would anybody think about the death of Jesus like that? Like about him hanging on the cross? Why would they think about it in terms that the Jews killed him? And then I thought, you know, I realized maybe they just didn't know any better. And then it made me think, do we really understand how blessed we are to have the kind of teaching that we have had? Pastor Mike went into such depths to tell the mechanics of how to do and how to pray, so many things, such depth of preaching and teaching we have had all these years. And Pastor John, same way, I've had such understand it come through him that I will never ever forget. I can tell you all the time people ask me, how do you know this stuff? How did you ever learn about that? Where did you see that at? And I just realized it was probably in a Sunday morning service or in Sunday school class or in Wednesday night or in discipleship class. It was right here in this church that I learned these things. We just should appreciate how blessed we are. For the word of God itself tells us it's not about the Jews killing Jesus. It's not about the Roman soldier having the spear and sticking the spear in his side and all that. It's about he laid down his life for us. That's what it's all about. In John 10, verses 15 and 17, it says, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." And again in 1 John 3:16 it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also are to lay down our lives for the brethren." So we see from the word itself that it's not about them killing Jesus, it's about him laying down his life. Yes, there were soldiers there that drove those spikes in his hands and in his feet. There was a soldier there that stuck the spear in his side. There was one there that did the whipping and the beating on his back. He could have saved himself at any point. He could have got down off of that cross. But instead, he chose to save you and me. If the enemy can get us to thinking about, not thinking about the blood, not thinking about the cross, not picturing it, not seeing it in all of its detail, we won't feel it. If we don't picture it and we don't talk about it, we won't feel in our hearts what Jesus did for us. And we all need to get that in our hearts. Not just think about it intellectually, but we need to know it down deep in our souls. If we don't ever see the blood and we don't ever see the cross and we don't ever think about it, we won't realize it is our sin that nailed him to the cross. It was our sin that stuck the spear in his side. It was our sin that had that cat of nine tails that beat him on his back. It was our sin, us. And you begin to get the thoughts and the pictures, the ideals. He did all this so we could be forgiven, so that we could be cleansed, so that we could be healed and be set free. Yes, set free from the very enemy that's trying to hide the blood from us. But I want us to see ourselves in this vile state. I want us each one to picture ourselves with the spikes in our hand and the sledgehammer coming down and hitting the flesh of Jesus. And the blood pouring out of those wounds as we're nailing those in his hands. If you don't see yourself in that role, you don't ever see your sin and what it did. The cost that he paid. How much he loved us. You don't do this kind of thing without extreme love. This is what agape love looks like. When he laid down his life there that day, he submitted. He stretched himself out on the cross and let them beat them into his hands and feet. And raise him up there. All the time that they're doing this, blood is pouring out of those wounds. And you might be thinking about, well, I'm already saved. I don't really need to know about this. Let me ask you, you got any sin in your life right now? Have you committed any sin since you got saved that you needed to repent of? Need any healing right now? Need to lie in those stripes of Jesus? How many of us need to get rid of our stinking thinking? And how many of us need help to make good and right choices? Yeah, we all do. But unless we see the vileness of our sin and see ourselves in the picture of being the one that administered those blows, we don't see ourselves as needing to repent. You know how you have a little kid and he just says, "I'm sorry." But it don't really mean it. It's going to go right back and do it again. Repent's not going back and doing it again, folks. Repent is turning from it so that you never do it again. And so we have to see this in order for us to understand the depth that we need to repent. We go along in our lives and we just think about, you know, this is not too bad. I just, I'm going to deal with this one of these days. I'm going to let go of that forgiveness at some point. I'm going to get over this bitterness. But we don't do anything about it. We've got to see the vileness of our sin to repent, to turn from it, so that we don't ever go that way again. Now I want to change directions now, and I want to talk about some of the benefits of the blood of Jesus. And I'm just going to use some things that's from the cross itself and from the process of the crucifixion. And I'm just going to talk about them a little bit, but see, you can see the benefits that we gained from them. Jesus purchased everything for us. But I just want to talk about a few of them today. So when they nailed his hands and feet to the cross with blood pouring out, he hung there and continued to hang there while blood was pouring out of those wounds for our salvation, right? We all get that, right? And Jesus had a crown of thorns put on his head. Now, those thorns were big, long thorns over there. They're not little tiny things like we see. They're big, long thorns. Do you think they just gently laid that on his head? I think they rammed it down on his head. I think they pushed that right into his scalp, right into his head. So we got more wounds now pouring out blood. This is in Matthew 27:29. Thorns represent curses. And in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So we got the benefit of salvation, and we've got the benefit of being free from curses. How many of you all have heard about generational diseases? Yep. How many of y'all have had things spoken over you that you knew that somebody was trying to say things on you that they wanted to come to pass on you? That's a curse, folks. He delivered us from that. He hung on the cross so we could be free of that. Jesus was beaten with a whip with a cat of nine tails that literally jerked out hunks of meat out of his back, cut big trenches in his back. Isaiah 53 tells us in a little bit more depth about that part of it. He was wounded for our transgressions. Wounded means pierced through. And transgressions basically means rebellion. Transgressions in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, it teaches us transgressions required restitution. And Jesus paid our restitution price. He was bruised for our iniquities. When you get a bruise, man, that is sore, isn't it? It is so sore when you get a bruise, you just hardly hate to touch it because all of that blood bleeds out under the skin. So Jesus had bruises all over him. He was bleeding under his skin all over. Bruised is another word for bruise is actually crushed. And he paid for our iniquities. And iniquities is basically patterns of sin or crooked direction or warped deeds. Y'all been acquainted with any of those? Thank God he delivered it and make it a way for us to get out of that. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Our discipline, our correction, our chastising was upon him so that we could have peace. By his stripes we were healed. Stripes are blows that cut in. And he took that awful beating with that cat of nine tails for us. Blood poured out of those 39 stripes on his back. And don't you know that all diseases known to mankind fit into 39 categories? Don't think that's much of a coincidence, do you? Jesus had his beard plucked out, Isaiah 50:6. This kind of treatment was done as a precursor to crucifixion. So Jesus took the slapping, the spitting, the pulling out of the beard. It was all a process to humiliate. And Jesus submitted himself to this kind of humiliation and slapping and pulling out the beard to pay for our deliverance from shame and humiliation. Jesus prayed in great agony until drops of sweat like blood poured out. Luke 22:44. Doesn't matter if it was drops of water or drops of blood. It still was fluids of his body poured out. He was in great agony when he was praying. This was to deliver us from all kinds of pressure and stress and tension. Any of y'all acquainted with some of that? I'd say you are. I sure have been at my workplace for a long time. It's a lot to deal with sometimes. Now, Jesus, he purchased all these benefits for us, not so that we could just have enough life to barely drag around. Leviticus 17:11 says that life is in the blood. And John 10:10 says he died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life don't look like dragging around. Abundant life looks like a life full of energy and strength and vitality and able to do the work that God has got for you to do. Satan has kind of hidden these things from us so that we'll get in this state of depression, this state of barely dragging around, that no energy, no strength, no vitality. And when I say this, don't take what I'm saying as being that I have no compassion for illness. I've been there. I know what it's like to hold the walls, to have your strength to stand up with. I know what that's like. But I'm telling you that God can give you more than that. Now, some of the benefits here we've just talked about are salvation and freedom from curses and freedom from rebellion and a sound mind and peace and healing and freedom from shame and humiliation and freedom from tension, press, and pressure and stress, just to name a few. But we had to do something. You know, when we came to receive that first one, salvation, we had to do something. We had to repent of our sins and accept Jesus as our Savior. It required something on our behalf. Just because you're born as a citizen of this world don't mean that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You have to be born into that. And you have to receive Christ as your Savior in order to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Sitting in a church won't do it for you. Listening to shows on TV won't do it for you. You have to make the choice to repent of your sins and to submit your life to God. You. Nobody can do it for you. I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. Every person has to do it for themselves. I want to talk about just a few examples here of some things we looked at. And first one, like, is a sound mind. And what I want to talk about is what you need to do to receive some of these benefits that we've been talking about. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind," or basically a safe thinking mind. And Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things." But let me tell you, where's our mind at? What's it thinking about? When God specifically instructs us, this is the kind of things we're supposed to be thinking about. We let our minds run all over creation. We think about this, and we think about that, and we think about this. We don't focus ourselves on thinking about what God tells us to. But in order to receive a sound mind, this is what you got to do. So it's a good way to start out by just memorizing those scriptures that tells you about whatever it is that you need help with. Like in this case, we're talking about a sound mind. You need to memorize you a couple of scriptures there. And then you need to make confessions out of them so that you can go around saying it all day long anytime you need it. Confessions might go something like this. "Father, I thank you that you've given me a sound mind. I thank you that I don't have to be thinking about all this stuff, that you have made it possible for me to have a sound mind. And you have made it possible for me to think on the things that you said I should think on. And so I can focus my mind and I can put it on the place where it needs to think. And I thank you, Father, for that." Do you see what happens immediately when you start confessing the word? power and energy and strength begin to jump up inside you. The Holy Spirit's like, oh, yeah, so it's like this. Let's roll with that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we don't say the word too much. Lots of times we don't even read the word. We need the word. The word produces life. John 6:63 said, my word is spirit and my word is life. And when you start speaking life, you start getting life pulling up inside you. And you start feeling the energy from it. And you start feeling the vitality from it. And you're getting what you need to have to know that God has that kind of power to transform your mind. Another one we can talk about is peace. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I was reading this one day and the Lord just spoke something to me. I mean, this has only been a few years ago, and I bet you I've read that scripture 1,000 times over the 30-some years I've been saved. So I'm just, matter of fact, it's longer than that. It's been 50 years now. So, yeah, time gets away from you, don't it? So I was just reading that one day, and I was having a lot of stress and anxiety at that time. And he just said, flip it around. And that's what I heard in my spirit. And I thought, flip it around? What in the world are you talking about? So I just meditated on that. What was he talking to me about? Take every anxious thought and flip it around into a prayer of thanksgiving. Instead of, Father, I don't know how to pay this bill. I just don't know. I'm just worrying and fussing because I don't know how to do it. Flip it around and say, Father, I thank you that you're sending that. You're making that provision for me, and I thank you for it. Healing is another. Let me just give you one more example on that one instead of just bypassing that so quick. Because a lot of people have trouble with anxiety. And I really want you to have peace. And I found such peace after I found this, Lord. It just meant the world to me. And so when I was saying this, I just began to say, Father, I thank you that you're taking care of this situation. I had a situation at work at that time, and it was just this guy that I worked with just aggravated the daylights out of me. He frustrated me to no end. I mean, it's just like on and on and on. He just had to tell you everything about how to do everything when it was your job and you knew it better than he did. But you couldn't say nothing. You just had to take it over and over, day after day after day. And it just wore on me and wore on me. And so I was just like, Father, help me with this. So I started praying. And so I started praying and I said, Father, I just know that you've got a way to take care of this. I know that you have got some way to intervene in this situation and help. For it is just driving us all bananas. Not just me, but everybody else. And just thank you that you're going to help with this, Father. So, you know what he spoke to me? You know, usually if you're inquiring into a situation, God's going to tell you what you need to do. Not the other person, but what you need to do. Okay, so I start praying, and he has me pray for this guy. Every day, I've got to pray for him. And not only do I got to pray for him, but I got to think about one good thing about that guy every day. So I have to go to work, and I have to, every time I hear him, I think something good. I got to shut out all that, and I just got to think something good. I just got to think something good. God, you just give me something good today, God, to think about him. And so I just keep going this every day, over and over and over. Well, you know what happened? He didn't bother me no more. He was the same guy, but he no longer bothered me. God gave me peace in the midst of that situation. And sometimes we think that we can't have peace until the situation goes away. But you can have peace in the middle of the storm. You can have peace. God can calm things down. Well, that frustration was all in my heart. My heart needed to be dealt with, and God knowed exactly what needed to be done. So, you know, but the thing about it is I want you to get in mind that whatever you're struggling with, get that word on it. Get what the Word says about it. Memorize you some scriptures. Make confessions out of them. Start saying them to yourself over and over and over. You'll find the more you say them to yourself, the more your faith is built up. The more the energy and the more vitality you'll feel, the more power you feel from the Holy Spirit starts surging through you. I want to talk about healing. And healing is one of those things that's really near and dear to my heart because God healed me of cancer. And I will never forget that. And people just say, well, you just keep talking about that all the time. That's because I'll never be the same person that I was before then that I am now. I got changed in the course of that healing. And I always thought healing was just something that was done immediately. You know, just that happened right away. But I kept asking God about that because I knew that it was coming. You know, it was just kind of like easing in on me, you know. And I kept asking God about that. And he said, well, you remember the 10 lepers? They were healed as they went. And so as I was confessing the Word and believing the Word and holding on to the Word and taking communion and just praying all the time, I had a paper like this that had a bunch of scriptures on it. Every time I sat down, those were before my eyes. I got in the bed. I turned a tape on back where you remember back then they had cassette tapes. I turned a cassette tape on and listened to Dodie Osteen quote all them scriptures about her healing when she got healed. And this is what I lived day and night. Everything else was shut out but what I had to do. Everything else was dedicated to God. It changed who I was. I'm not that person anymore. I don't think I was a bad person. It just changed me. It changed me to understand the Word of God and how important it is. Isaiah 53:5, we just went over those things that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you pictured yourself laying in the stripes of Jesus right now, what would you see? You would be down in a trench in his back. You would look on either side of you and there would be the raw flesh of Jesus. There would be blood and water pouring out of them stripes into you and onto you. One day I was thinking about this and, you know, I'm a visual person. I got to have a picture. If a preacher gets up here and paints me a picture, I got the message. I can remember it forever if I've got the picture. But a lot of people are oratory learners. But I'm a visual learner. So I got a picture of myself. And so I picture myself down in the stripes of Jesus laying there. And I am a part of his body. And so if you cut your arm open right now and you look down in that, what would you see? Raw flesh, blood and water. And so what does your body start trying to do as quick as it gets cut? It starts trying to knit itself back together. Starts healing. Right off the bat, it starts healing, trying to heal back. Well, if you're laying in the stripes of Jesus and your flesh is right next to his raw flesh, guess what's happening? His flesh is adhering to your flesh and knitting with your flesh to heal your body. And the blood and water that's in them stripes, since you are not a foreign object and you are part of his body, the blood and water that's in them stripes is flowing through you, giving you all the health and healing that you need. Changed my way of thinking about healing. I tell you, it did. It changed me completely. So our confession might be something like I've just spoken about. Jesus, I come to lay in your stripes. And as I come to lay in your stripes, I know that your flesh will knit with my flesh. I know that I'm a part of your body. And because I am a part of your body, your flesh will knit with my flesh. And your blood will come into my body and start cleansing my blood. And your water will wash me with the water of the Word, like it says in Ephesians 5. Another one is shame. Thought about that when the song was up here a while ago. He took our shame. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He took the shame so we could be unashamed of who we are in Christ Jesus. So we could know who we are. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are his children. We are his family. He loves us with love that is inexplainable. And so because of that, he wants us to have all the benefits that he purchased for us. Can you imagine what Jesus' body must have looked like that day he went to the cross? Isaiah 52:14 said, his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. He had been beaten and bruised until he was unrecognizable. Hebrews 9:22 says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified by blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus said he shed his blood for our sin so that we could be forgiven. And also, can you imagine the mental and emotional anguish that he was in? How do you feel when you've done something wrong, when you know you've got sin in your life? Don't you feel the weight of it? You feel that weight on you, that burden. I feel that weight that I just need to repent. I need to ask God's forgiveness for this. Now imagine that's one person's sin. Imagine about every person that was alive on the day he went to the cross. He had all of their sin on him, all of the weight of their sin that day he went to the cross. But he also had the weight of sin of every person that had ever lived before then. And he also had the weight of every sin of every person that ever would live, including us. He had all that weight. When we feel the sin, or the burden of one sin that we have in our lives and that weight, I just can't imagine the weight that he was carrying that day when he went to the cross. Hebrews 12:1 tells us that he tells us to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Lay it aside. Repent. Millie, can you come? I want us to think about it. I just want a really quiet altar call today. And I want us to think about ourselves right now. I want each one of us to picture ourselves. Do we have any known sin in our life? Are we feeling any weight on ourselves, any person here? It's not none of my business. That's between you and God. If you have that and you feel that in your body, you should come to the altar and lay it down there in that pool of blood at the foot of the cross. And if you're not born again today, think about it like this. If you needed healing and you needed to lay in the stripes of Jesus, if you're not born again, you'd be a foreign object. He couldn't adhere to you, even if you would want to, because you have not accepted him as your Savior. So if you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, come for prayer. Come and just let us pray with you to receive salvation. And if you need prayer for something else, you know, come. Come, we'll pray with you. I had a co-worker, I put it on there this morning, the praise report, that they flew him out on Wednesday to have emergency surgery from bowel blockage. And they got him down there, and because he wasn't having a fever right then, they just decided they'd wait another day or two. Told her that Sunday morning was the absolute latest that he could that they would have to have surgery if it had come loose by this morning it came loose. And she just wanted to thank everybody for their prayers, because God, she said, those prayers are working. I know they are, because there's no reason after all this time and all this medicine that all of a sudden it just comes loose now. John has a saying that God is never early, but he's always on time. He's always on time. God answers prayer for us, but we don't need to carry the sin around with us. So I'm asking you, come to the altar if you need to repent of any sin in your life right now. And come to me if you need. Come to me and Ray here if you need for salvation or if you need prayer for any reason.